Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, God's wisdom from above. Amen. We meditate today on that second lesson from the letter to the Hebrews, the last chapter, chapter 13, verses 1 through 8. It's our second lesson. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if they were your fellow prisoners, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage is honorable in everything, and the marriage bed is pure. But single and married sexual offenders, fornicators, God will judge. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the word of our Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. Lord, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until your coming. You are faithful, O Lord, and in you we hope. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of our Lord, the unchanging Christ, dearly redeemed believers, I can see how a visitor on our website might look at that theme for the service today and say, or for the sermon, say, "You've got to be kidding. Live in Philadelphia? I'd rather live in Minnesota, or pretty much wherever someone else lives." Unless you like Philadelphia, but even residents of the city of Philadelphia would look at those parts of this sermon and say, "Yeah, I get the confident part. People in Philadelphia are pretty confident, but I don't know too many people in the city who are kind and content." If I had, you know, as a Midwesterner, a New Yorker accent, I'd say something like, "Forget about it." Or we would say more like, "Forget you. I don't want to live in Philadelphia." Then again, if I translate for you, you realize that Philadelphia means brotherly love. That's the Lord's word for us today, especially good on a day like Every Member Worship and Study Sunday, when we're coming back together to worship our Lord again, that he's telling us, now live in Philadelphia. Live here in this place where Christ dwells in brotherly love, and let it show. Let it show, first of all, in the way you show the Lord's kindness. He is so very kind. Keep on loving as brothers. Live in Philadelphia as brothers. There was a new member in a congregation years ago who was maybe a little bit surprised when he would shake his pastor's hand and say, "My friend," and his pastor looked a little bit hesitant and clouded expression on his face from that, till he finally asked his pastor what's wrong. And the pastor said, "I'm afraid I don't make a very good friend. So busy that the fun things that friends usually do together, I'm afraid I neglect. But your brother, we can be brothers in Christ." And ever since, the handshake is, "My brother." That we can live with. Living in Philadelphia is living in brotherly love, in a kindness that actually reaches beyond friendships, even the closest kind. The brotherhood that we have in Christ, because He is our brother, making God our Father, and all out of His mercy and His grace. Live as brothers. Keep on loving as brothers. And do not forget to entertain strangers. For in doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. This kind of brotherly love that shows in hospitality to people who cannot repay you is something that unfortunately is often lacking in Christian congregations. As we, you know, examine ourselves in the light of God's Word, we see that men sometimes forget the brotherly love. I see it especially in emails. Sometimes in the email, it's just so curt, you'd say, so brief and so to the point that we forget the kind things that we need to say to each other that show a certain amount of respect for each other's work and responsibility. Sometimes in our Board for Lay Ministry, we just have to say, hey, end of emails, got to talk to you on the phone or in person, even better. Even by phone, there's so much loss of body language that it's just face-to-face cannot be replaced by technology. And women, I haven't figured them out yet. Senior year in high school, there were girls in our class that could remember from 4 years earlier some nasty thing that someone had said or done to hurt them. How quickly we forget that by remembering the hurts against us, we put ourselves far away from the cross. Today's a good day to go back and kneel at the foot of the cross and confess our sins, not just of hurting each other, but hurting our Lord by our memories. The grudges that find a place in our heart and come out at the strangest times. Maybe in your dreams, you dream about someone and then realize, you know, deep in my soul, I haven't forgiven them yet. And sometimes people ask me, Pastor, how do you actually forgive and forget? Because the Lord says, forgive as you've been forgiven, and the Lord forgets everything that He forgives. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. It's a new covenant here in Hebrews, other chapters. As a Christian, you use every memory as an opportunity. When that person that hurt you comes up again in your mind or your dreams or your heart of hearts, use it as an opportunity to ask that the Lord would have mercy on that soul, the same as the Lord has had mercy on you. Pray for that individual, and the more that you do, the more that forgiveness of Christ will settle down in your soul. And you won't hold a grudge anymore. You just won't be angry. You'll forgive as you've been forgiven. And instead of forget you take your sins and their sins. Forget that. Forget about it. Let it go. It's all gone, washed away with the blood of Christ. What an unkind attitude if the only people we ever help or give gifts to are those that can pay us back. Even Jesus in that story at the Sabbath day at the Pharisee's house, don't invite the people that can invite you back. You invite the ones that can't repay you. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Rather than only those who will invite you back. Entertain strangers means especially to show hospitality that those who can't pay you back, because some people have entertained angels without knowing it. I wonder what picture pops into your mind on that one. Can you think of some Old Testament story where someone entertained angels without knowing it? I think the first one for most people that comes to mind is when in the heat of the day, Abraham is sitting in the shade of his tent and he sees three strangers standing there. Later on in the next chapter, they're called angels, but an angel means a messenger. There are those who believe that that was actually more than three angels that were there. They just suddenly appear. They talk as God, as the Lord. Could very well have been the three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in human form. And Abraham, as we heard a few weeks ago, got his whole family, Sarah included, up and running to take care of these strangers, to welcome them. In that kindness of the one we worship as the Christ, who hanging there on that cursed tree for you and me, showed kindness to the repentant criminal, and that very day welcomed him home to paradise. That's the kindness of Christ that he shows for you and me. To live in Philadelphia in this kindness that shows that we're within the city limits of the Lord's city, of brotherly love. Live in Philadelphia with that kind of kindness, you will be content, remembering those in prison as if your cell were right next to theirs, and those who are mistreated as if yourselves were also suffering. It's a good time, maybe, to think about people in prison. Do you realize that our dear brothers and sisters in the Wisconsin Synod have set up a prison ministry that is larger than any other in the country? You can go on the Wells website and click through special ministries to find the Wells Prison Ministry that is sending and receiving Bible studies from convicts in prison who have repented and want to learn about the Lord, so that you can actually anonymously, they don't know anything about you, but they come through the prison ministry, you can correct those tests, send them back, and send words of encouragement to those who are behind bars, men and women. Tens of thousands of people finally turn to the Lord when the law catches up with them. And they look on those years behind bars as a great blessing when the Lord finally got through. They weren't listening to their parents or their grandparents or the authority. But finally, it comes down on them and they're seeking the Lord there behind bars. And this is one way that you can remember them as if your cell were right next to theirs. The kindness and love of Christ, who forgave criminals like us and welcomes us into paradise, into his own brotherly love. Live in Philadelphia content. Some of you looked a little puzzled when I read verse 4 because I don't read it the way the New International Version translates it. It's just not a good translation. There's a word in there that just doesn't belong. That's the word should. It's not a should passage at all. It's not something that should be. This is a statement of fact. And not so much about everyone, but everything. The Greek form is the same there. It should be everything. And so a more literal translation even than the King James Version is, marriage is honorable in everything, and the marriage bed is pure. But single and married fornicators God will judge. For the life of me, I cannot understand how anybody could go through a Wisconsin Synod catechism class and come out thinking they never heard that. We get so, even translators are so fixated on the second half of the passage that they miss the first half. They see the warning in the second half, but they miss the encouragement of the first part. And I find Wisconsin Synod members sometimes who don't even get the warning in the second part. So just in case somebody missed it in catechism class, let me be blunt. If you are enjoying the pleasures of sex outside of marriage, you are making yourself a prime target for God's judgment. And that confirmation certificate or your family name, you might wish it was made out of asbestos, but it wouldn't help. The last verse of the chapter 12, just before our text, it says, to this day, God is a consuming fire. If you're content with your life of sin, that's the way the devil wants it. It's a temporary thing. The next side is eternal. Our God is a consuming fire, and those who know better, the Lord is especially angry with us when we reject his law, when we've been taught the truth, and then we walk away and say, I didn't know. I never heard that. It's too hot to live in brotherly love unless you come on your knees to the cross and repent of every sin in thought, word, and deed. And since I can't remember all of mine and you can't remember all of yours, when we come together in the Lord's house, we confess all of our sins, all at once, those that we know and those that we don't know. And as we heard again this morning, we hear forgiveness for all of those sins. Christ not only died for all, but the blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. So that the absolution, the forgiveness, is pronounced on all of us, all at once, for all of our sins, forgiven again and again. He forgave us for all of our sins from all eternity, but we keep on repeating them, and He keeps on repeating the forgiveness. So that we can live in Philadelphia, in the brotherly love of Jesus, for Him and for each other, content. Then we can enjoy the blessing that God has given us in marriage. Marriage is honorable in everything, and the marriage bed is pure. There was just one time in the 6 days of God's creation that the Lord said, not good. Told you that many times. Just one time. It's not good that the man be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him, that help meet for him. And then on that sixth day, the Lord in the first surgery put that lonely man to sleep, used part of his side, woke him up. Wow. She'll be Isha because I'm Ish. She's Isha. She'll be woman because I'm man. Taken from man. He could see her as a beautiful gift as God established the first marriage and marriage forever after as one man and one woman for life, and He puts them together in paradise so they could enjoy it without shame. Marriage is honorable in everything. The marriage bed is pure. Over 20 years ago, our mission counselor said something to me that I've thought of many times since, and it was such a beautiful expression of his Christian faith. He said, I don't maintain faithfulness to my wife just because I'm afraid of the sixth commandment and God's curse if I don't. There's a fear there, but I treasure that relationship with her. I want to be faithful to her. I never want to break that trust between us. And isn't it so true that the trust of intimacy in particular is like unfired ceramic? Once it's broken or shattered by adultery, how can you glue it back together again? So the Lord says, marriage is honorable in everything and the marriage bed is pure, but the single and married fornicators God will judge. Live in Philadelphia content and keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Isn't it true that when you have God, you have everything? Be content literally with what you have at hand. Interesting concept that we learned from Him who taught us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And you see how that works out there in the desert for 40 years, where just on a day-by-day basis, that manna was spread on the desert floor like the dew in the morning. And the evening, the quail, the meat for their diet at night. And if they disobeyed God's law and gathered too much, it rotted. And the Lord was giving His children of Israel a wonderful picture lesson about accepting God's blessings, what you have at hand on that day, day by day. Not all worried and upset about what tomorrow may bring, especially during those golden years that don't ever turn out to be as golden as promised. And the earning ability is decreasing and the medical bills are increasing and it gets harder and harder to be content. But keep your lives free from the love of money, he says. Live in Philadelphia content and recognize that the relationships that we have in Jesus Christ, especially for our fellow Christians, so much more important than making money and socking it away for the rainy day that may never come. Be content with what you have today because it's not just her that's made to be the helper suitable, the help meet. It says, the Lord is my aitzer. Same word. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Living content in Philadelphia. Because the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? I can be not just content, but confident. Confident. As the Lord says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. One Christian woman told her sons, after the father abandoned the family, look for Christian men as role models who treat their wives with love and respect. Let them serve as your role models to treat your wives the same way. Over the years serving in parish ministry, I've had many fine role models that I can look up to and see how they treat their wives with love and respect as a treasured gift of God. I treasure those role models. That's the kind of leadership that sometimes we don't even know we're giving. You ever thought about leadership that way and the way the Lord so blesses us through our leaders and says, remember your leaders? Like, have you heard this one? He that thinketh he leadeth and hath no one following only taketh a walk. Or like Margaret Thatcher liked to say, a leader is like a lady. If you have to tell someone you are, you're not. The Lord provides us with leaders, especially those who are into God's Word and can put real life together with the Word of God, so that in their life there is this, not just here and now, but the way they pass from this life to the next. That's how it is literally here. Those who are here living their faith and then on their way to the next life, dying in peace. As this past week, our brother Clarence Bockland went home to be with the Lord in peace. How often I've seen that, the wonderful blessing of someone who knows what it means to be blessed. Living in the brotherly love of Jesus Christ with sins all washed away, his righteousness and holiness by faith in the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and trusting that those who live and believe in me will never die. God gives us leaders that we can look up to who live a life of faith that passes from here into God's home in heaven, the eternal Philadelphia. A brotherly love. Because they follow Christ. Christ Jesus, who is the same yesterday and today and forever. You never have to worry about God when you trust in him through Jesus Christ, as if one day he might be angry at you and the next day he might love you, like a roller coaster that you can't keep up with that emotional ride. I have loved you with an everlasting love, he says. And through one of the minor prophets, Zephaniah, he says he takes great delight in his people. You really ought to think about that when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're troubled by some sin or some weakness that's so hard to shake and you've been trying so hard and you're disappointed in yourself. Think about this. As you kneel at the foot of the cross, the Lord takes great delight in his people. The Lord Jesus, who doesn't change, the same yesterday and today and forever. It's not your imagination. The grass really is greener on his side of the fence. To live in Philadelphia confident, content, and kind is so much better than among not so nice Norwegians or too many cheeseheads, obnoxious. To live in Philadelphia in brotherly love with Christ is not just to enjoy the kindness of God, but to live that kindness yourself. The kindness, the confidence, the contentment of being with Jesus as a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Don't ever forget about it. Forget the sins. Live in Christ. Live in Philadelphia. Amen.